Okay, so I'm Jo Richmond, interviewing Toby Philpott for the NoFit State Archive Project. Could you just say your name for me and spell it?
Yes, it's Toby Philpott, and Philpott is P-H-I-L-P-O-T-T.
Thank you.
There are many ways of spelling that, which is why it's important.
Okay. Could you just start by telling me what was your first involvement with NoFit State?
They say I'm to blame for it because through the 70s I was studying and teaching circus skills, which weren't fashionable at the time. No one was doing it. There were no training schools, no videos, no equipment. But I was a real enthusiast, particularly for juggling, and then spread out into other skills. I then got involved in some film work and I stopped doing my own solo show. But things brought me to Cardiff, and I had spare time, and I set up a little juggling class just to share that skill with people. And the first week nobody came, and the second week one person came and said, "I know lots of people who'd love to do this." And the third week 20 people came, including the five founding members of the circus, but also a group of other people. I was charging to pay for the rent of the room and make myself a little bit of money, but they were all fairly poor students and squatters and punks and all sorts of people. So they said, "We can't really afford to pay for this." I said, "Well, as long as the hall's paid for, I don't mind." And they had a bright idea, which was to set up a juggling club at the university, and then the university would pay me as a tutor. They would be given the great hall to work in. They would be given some money to buy stuff like unicycles and things. And they would even be lent a Mercedes bus and given 2,000 miles worth of petrol or something. There was something about university clubs that got these resources. And it meant that I got paid, which was great, and that they had all the resources.
Seeing as you started off with very little money and it wasn't entirely fashionable to become part of the circus, did you find that difficult to...
No, I liked it.
Yeah?
Yeah, I liked it because there was no competition. For a while I was the only juggler in London, apart from cabaret jugglers and, you know, classic traditional circus, but I was the only street juggler that I knew, and even after 5 or 6 years it took me a lot of time to find half a dozen other people in Europe to have a European meetup, except for the people I taught, because, you know, you teach 10 people and they each teach 10 people, and I'm actually to blame for thousands of jugglers, I'm afraid.
How did you find the general public responded to this? Because obviously it must be something quite new to them.
It was, in the 70s, it was quite unusual, yes. There was still no real tradition of street performers, especially in the UK because of the weather. If I went to Spain, the tradition of performing in the Ramblas and the marketplaces was fairly established. It's never quite legal, but it's socially acceptable. And that means people will stay and stand around you. Whereas in England, people would actually pass by, "Ooh, strange man on the corner acting funny." Or, you know, a policeman would move you on. They can't actually arrest you for performing in the street. After all, you could be dancing at a bus stop because you just got married or something, you know. But there are laws against obstruction, creating a crowd that blocks the pavement, disturbing the peace, talking too loudly, shouting. Health and safety, of course, firework juggling and unicycles and things where you might injure somebody. And begging, of course, begging's not allowed. So you can't actually say, "And if you'd like to show, put money in my app." And so on. So they can bust you for all sorts of things except performing in the street, which is not illegal. And I had to run the gauntlet of all those things in Covent Garden Marketplace, is now an established street performer place, and you go and get licenses. So when I first started there, it was a fruit and vegetable market. And there were a few buskers that used to work with theatre queues, because in Covent Garden it's all the theatres, and the people who queued outside used to have entertainers occasionally, mostly musical, occasionally comedians and things. But so there was a small tradition of street performing, but quite an old-fashioned thing, nothing like what we do these days. And so I was breaking the ground really for street performing.
You mentioned that the five founding members of NoFit State were and the early members coming on to your classes in Cardiff. Do you have any early memories of those people, or could you tell that they were one day destined to form a circus?
Well, no, not to form a circus. I knew one in 20 of the classes that I ran in London would turn into performers. but it's about 1 in 20. There'd be a lot of people who just did it for exercise or amusement or evening classes for social life. Sometimes people would start with me and end up somewhere else. For instance, they'd start in a juggling class and then find they really like unicycles, because I was always doing peripheral skills as well. So they might go, actually, I don't get off on juggling, but I like this circus thing, what else is there? And I go, well, how about tumbling? Because I also teach, you know, I taught back then basic tumbling, because I was not a real gymnast, but comedy, pratfalls, stage fighting, standing on shoulders, moves. And I was learning and teaching at the same time, because they weren't really, you know, I found a tumbling teacher and she was absolutely fantastic, but whatever she was teaching, I was teaching someone else the following week. I didn't want to start with, because of the safety aspects. And you couldn't do it now, you'd have to have CBR checks and all sorts. Mm-hmm. But back then, as long as I learnt it well enough, I could pass it on. And it was the day that teacher called me and said, I can't come next week, can you run the class? And I went, ooh, but some of these people are better than me. And she said, yeah, they know what they're doing, they're just coming for the exercise. You just watch the beginners and talk them through. And she made me a teacher by asking me to step in. And then I went, oh, okay, I can do this. You know, so it was a very different time, basically, from formal classes like this with qualified trainers and things.
So would you say, from you leading that class, that was one of the times where you felt like you had established yourself in the circus?
Well, it's funny, I was sort of moving out of it, because I got into this, for about 3 years I'd been doing film puppets, and I thought I was into proper showbiz, having trained myself for 10 years with all this circus school stuff. And then, of course, the film business just let me go, and I wasn't in the mood to go back to being a solo performer, because I was still hoping to keep going with the film work. But I also was, you know, absolutely skint. It's a long story as how I was in Cardiff rather than in London, but I happened to be here. And, running that class was just me flexing the muscles again and trying to get... partly to make friends as well as to make money, to find a new network in a new city. And that was a complete success, because finding that circle of people, because I was nearly 40 and they were all 19 to 23 or something, so I found a youthful group of people that loved what I was doing, that became my social life. I would go around to their houses and flats and we'd go out drinking and so on. So those five didn't stand out as people who are going to do this seriously. Several of the other people went on to work in circus, mm-hmm. As stilt walkers or something else. So it was quite a good group in terms of how many graduated to making a living at it. But there were certainly several people there that I've completely lost touch with, and they probably went off and did something completely different. They may have even got their degrees, unlike these guys, who dropped out effectively. But yes, those five were very... Well, first of all, they became really good jugglers and they showed a lot of interest in other circus skills. And I could see two of them were studying to do business management, and they immediately got, how do you get funding? How do you, you know... And others really discovered the fun of performing, didn't especially want to do the business side. And that group of five actually didn't really function as a group of five straight away. For various reasons, they broke into a group of three and a group of two. The three did a three-man juggling act with and human pyramids and all that sort of stuff. And they won street performer awards in Edinburgh and Glasgow and Cardiff. I mean, they were really good level. And that's when it was quite competitive. By the 80s, there were lots of jugglers and things. But that's lots of inspiration as well. You could buy proper equipment. You could learn tricks from other people and so on. And the other two, Ali and Dave Id, did a comedy act. I mean, it was skillful, but it wasn't aimed at, wow, these guys are fantastic. It was really funny. It was knockabout comedy. You know, Ali would do knife throwing at Dave and he'd be terrified. And that was a comedy act. And they were both comedy acts, because that's how you make money. Being arty is not terribly rewarding.
Have you won any awards yourself, and if so, how did that come about?
I haven't actually, no. I think I'm the invisible man. because there weren't any competitions or anything like that. Nowadays, you can fly to Tokyo and win the Street Performers Award, and they make you £5,000 and blah blah blah. The only real rewards I got were social connections and job offers from working in the street. I mean, I was doing a street show once, and then someone in the school saw it and said, "Can you come and do it at our school? We'll pay you." And then when I was in the school show, doing about a 40-minute show or something like that in the main hall, and at the back were two people I didn't know from the BBC, and so I went into the headmistress's office after the show to get paid, and she said, "These women are from the BBC, they wanted to see the show." Whether they were parents at school, I don't know, but they said, "Oh well, we're on Play School, which is a TV show for very small children, and we'd like you to do a spot on it." So I wasn't being offered the jolly uncle job that goes on for years and pays for your flat, but a one-off job. So something like that would go straight to school to TV.
Was that something that there's a lot of one-off jobs that would then take you into things that you didn't necessarily expect to go into?
Absolutely. Because I was doing something that was not known by people. The nearest equivalent to circus back then was fringe theatre, which was getting away from the straight on-stage theatre. People started doing theatre in different places, theatres in parks, in the streets. But it was theatre, and it was very colourful theatre. It would be kind of commedia dell'arte, kind of usually funny, rather loud and boisterous, colourful, and occasionally introducing circus tricks of some kind. See, I went way round the corner on that. Sorry, can you get me back to the beginning of that?
I asked, you said you would sometimes get off one-off jobs.
Yes.
Was that something that happened a lot and then took you on to things that you didn't necessarily expect?
Because we were a very, very small group of people. I'd get a phone call, "Hello, it's the BBC." "Oh, great." I'd go like that. They go, "Do you know any snake dramas?" "No." And then later, "Well, I do actually." You know, so we would refer jobs on to other people when we couldn't take them. But it was a really small family at that point, and it grew and grew. To give you a perspective on it, I tried to find other jugglers, I didn't know any, apart from people I taught. And I joined a newsletter in America for the International Jugglers Association, and it listed 10 or 11 people in Europe that were members. And we contacted them all, me and another English guy. And we had our first juggling convention with 11 people in Brighton. Someone from Ireland, Scotland, Germany, a couple of Americans who lived in London, a couple of English people. But it was 11 people, right? And we thought this was such fun to all meet and show each other tricks and go, "Wow, I had never thought of that," or "How do you..." Then we decided to do it again. And then the following year in Scotland, 25 people turned up, because obviously we had our own students. And then the following year, 50, and the following year. By the fifth year, there were 300 or 400 people turning up. There were lots of edges to that, whether we pay to go in, and we eventually had to pay for the premises. But that's how it grew exponentially, just bigger and bigger. And that cross-fertilisation is when the Open State Founders came in, when you could go to a juggling convention and there would be 1,000 people for a few days, and to just sparkle with imagination, or stay up all night in the hall practicing, passing clubs with a really good person who can teach you loads of stuff. And they grew so fast. I mean, it took me months, because when I first juggled, I was teaching myself from scratch with no information. I'd just seen someone juggling and went, "Wow, I'm going to go and work out how that works." And
then, how did it feel to realize that you had gone from such a small group of people to then so many people on board?
And it became an annual event to me, that wherever it was, because the first four were in the UK, but then we went, "We've got to go to other countries, Copenhagen and then Berlin and something." And it would be the holiday for the year. And not just the travelling part, but meeting people from other cultures and countries. Friends, of course. I had several friends that I only met once a year at the juggling convention. And we'd know each other for 6 years, and I'd go, "Actually, I don't know your second name. You know, do you have any family? Or, you know, are you married?" Because we'd just been meeting in this context of juggling and passing on trips and sitting around a place where it was absolutely non-stop learning and trading of ideas. And It became harder to work as a solo then because of the competition. Better, fitter, cheaper, you know, people. So I sort of worked my way out of a job, which is why the old traditional people used to keep their skills secret and mysterious. Oh, it's really difficult to be a juggler, take hundreds of years to learn how to do it. And I was going around going, take you a week. I could teach you in the next 2 hours if you can concentrate, you know, the basics. So that's not just me, the whole new circus movement and its clash with traditional circus came out of that. It was not always a clash, sometimes they stole from each other, but the social pressures to not call yourself a circus. I mean, for instance, we definitely say no for the state more often these days. Because the word circus, you get people coming and going, where's the clowns, where's the elephants, where's the... So all those circus skills are definitely what we were using. To call ourselves a circus is slightly misleading to some people.
So you found that quite confusing?
Yeah.
Just to call yourself a circus?
It was just the name. The name was a joke originally because of the Moscow State Circus and the Chinese State Circus. So we called ourselves that to start with, but already it was misleading because we were doing comedy theatre with circus skills. And in fact, they're not really... Even the word circus skills is misleading because circus is 250 years old and juggling is 4,000 years old. Acrobatics is probably right back to monkeys. You know, that's so the cliche of the circus is actually quite local history. It started with marketplace people and then horse riding shows, and then the marketplace acts would go on between the gaps in the horse riding shows, and then they didn't have a tent to start, they used to have a fence around it, and then they put the tent up because of the weather, and it, you know, it's evolved, but it's quite recent history. Whereas what we're calling circus skills are actually really ancient, type of walking, you know, the ancient Greeks were doing this stuff. So the circus, it's whether you want to battle with the circus word. Now if I say it's new circus, and they go, oh, what do you mean like Cirque du Soleil? And you go, not really.